This is Shamir Young with you from Zenjoyable.com, and thank you for joining us for our Pro Photographer interview series, episode number 12. Now, today we talk to Mary Brown. She specializes in wedding, portrait, and event photography. Now, Mary's photographic style reflects her training as an artist, graphic designer, and art director. Now, get this. Before turning to photography full-time in 2011, Mary was an associate art director for Black Enterprise magazine, where she helped art direct many photo shoots featuring celebrities like Venus Williams, Queen Latifah, and Oprah Winfrey. Oh my goodness. I am so excited for you to hear this interview. Let's not waste any time. Let's get to it. Hi, everybody. I'm hanging with Mary Brown, a professional wedding, portrait, and event photographer. I'm so excited to just chill and chat and hang with her. I want to thank you, Mary, for taking time out of your busy schedule to share some of your photography expertise with us.
Hi, Shamira. I'm excited to be here, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. And, you know, you have quite a bit of experience under your belt. I'm so excited to just pick your brain this morning. First of all, give us an overview of yourself and your background. How did you end up where you are now as a photographer?
Well, the story actually kind of goes back to the time when I was in high school. I studied painting and drawing at the High School of Music and Art in New York City. Hmm. And so from there, it kind of grew into this painting, drawing, and studying fine art at Lehman College also. But at some point, I really didn't like or think that I would be able to sell my work, you know, the starving artist syndrome type of thing.
Yeah.
So that led me to the field of graphic arts, where I have a degree in advertising design. That kind of ties in with my working at in magazine publishing as an art director, mm-hmm. where I got to meet a lot of prominent and very talented photographers. And I began to get the itch to start shooting again, because I had learned photography while I was at FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology, during my studies as a graphic designer. So that led to that long career as a graphic designer and led me to Black Enterprise magazine, where I worked with a lot of prominent photographers who did a lot of cover work for us, shooting executives and celebrities, etc. And I met a good friend there while I was there who kind of pushed me out to shooting professionally. And it was really interesting because I had an opportunity to work with or to do some photographs of Cory Booker when he was running for mayor in Newark during the 2006 election. And so it was really kind of, I don't know, I guess I won't say accidental, but a friend of mine was his press director, and she remembered that I was a photographer. Mm-hmm. And so on this particular day, he was going out to do some canvassing with Gail King. Mm. And so she called me up and said, hey, can you get down here in like 30 minutes? And because their regular volunteer wasn't there. So that's when I started. That's where that push started. I followed him around that day. And then on election day, I was a part of their media team. So I got a lot of great shots during that election, his first win for his first term. A photo editor, a very good friend of mine, saw my work and he was like, wow, you really should do this professional. You have a really good eye for photojournalism. And I really kind of blew it off at the time because I was just shooting as a hobby. And I felt, well, I'll think about it. He's like, no, seriously, all you need to do is, and he kind of laid out the steps, and he is the push that mm-hmm. kind of got me out there. And that's when I actually bought my first digital camera, somewhere around a little before that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And don't you love it when things work out that way, when you're in the right place at the right time? Personally, I don't believe that things just happen by accident. I believe everything happens for a reason. And it's really up to us to take those opportunities when they are presented to us. So definitely kudos to you for, you know, taking massive action when it was the right time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. There's a saying, I believe, that it says luck is when opportunity and availability meet, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to keep your eyes open. You just never know.
Right. Well said. And, you know, I was looking on your Facebook page this morning, and there's a photo of you just chilling with Venus Williams. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Wow. And I mean, you've been at shoots, helping with photo shoots with Queen Latifah, Oprah Winfrey, just these big names. Now, was that while you were working at Black Enterprise magazine?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm just curious and a little bit starstruck right now. How was it working with them in that environment?
Well, it was really great. It was a great experience. And you really have to keep calm and cool. You can't act like a groupie, you know. You have to act like this is an everyday occurrence, an everyday thing.
Uh-huh.
And for the most part, they're really regular people, normal people, just like you and I. Sometimes the challenge might be the person handling them, but that's their job,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you don't ask them the wrong questions or that they're not doing anything out of the scope of what was agreed to. But it was really good. Oprah was a lot of fun. We had 30 minutes with her, and I remember one of her PR people was saying, well, when Oprah arrives, some of us will have to leave the room because there's too many people in the room. And I kept saying, okay. And when Oprah arrived, it was like this big whirlwind entered the room. And I just kind of stood in a corner. And that PR person again was like, somebody needs to leave the room. And I was like, okay. And I thought to myself, I'm not leaving when Oprah's here. And the photographer for that shoot was the fantastic Matthew Jordan Smith. And so he really did a great job, exceptional job, actually. And at the end, when he got the shots he needed, he said to Oprah, the people from Black Enterprise would like to have a picture with you. Is that okay? And she's like, sure. And so we got our picture. So it was a fun day. It was like, okay, the trip was worth it.
Oh my goodness. Yes, so much of photography is working with people, you know,
right.
that makes a night and day difference at photo shoots. So that really sounds like some amazing training working with A-class celebrities right there.
Right. And even I had an opportunity to work with 50 Cent.
Oh my goodness.
And he was nothing like I thought. I'm not really into hip hop and rap music. And so I had always, like, in the past, really didn't like working with the hip hop celebrities because it was always such a problem.
Okay.
But he really was such a gentleman, such a cool guy and everything. He was very cooperative, very easygoing, and anything we needed him to do, he did it. He arrived on time. He had his people with him. They took care of him. They took care of us. And I remember when he arrived, I reached out to shake his hand to say hello. And he just grabbed me, hugged me, gave me a kiss on the cheek, said, hey, how you doing? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'll never wipe my cheek again. So then I became this fan of 50 Cent. It was so funny.
Oh my goodness. I've heard he's very cool. I've heard that.
It's very cool.
Excellent. Well, next, Mary, describe to us your current style of photography today. What do you do the most of?
I do a lot of events, and I'm doing more and more weddings also. So I've found that my style has evolved. I try and use artificial lighting or flash less whenever possible, because I've discovered I like the effect that I'm getting now with shooting natural photography.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking me back to my early days when I first started learning to shoot and using the camera. When I was in college, I could not afford a flash. So I had to learn to use my camera to the fullest of its ability. And you could only go up to, 400 ISO? And I think they called it was something else. We didn't use the term ISO back then. So I'm getting back to that.
Excellent. So you have a strong foundation in your photography knowledge.
Yes. You know, that even that one course where you take the photography 101, you really learn the basics, because it's easy to break the rules. But when you learn the rules, it's easier to break them, or you can see that you break them on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like a mistake. So yes, you know what you're doing, but you know, you experiment a little bit.
Right. And I think that that foundation that you have, that's something that sets professional photographers apart from just any person who can buy a DSLR camera, you know, and try to call themselves a photographer. I was talking to earlier in the interview series, another professional photographer, and he was saying that so many people will go out and buy, you know, a nice Canon or Nikon camera, but they don't know the basics of lighting, or they don't know how to use the basics of the camera itself. And so it's so important to have a solid foundation, and so that you do know what you're doing, especially when you decide to break those rules later. You're breaking them on purpose for a particular reason and for a particular effect.
Correct.
Yes.
And, you know, the film, working with film is so unforgiving, because you had maybe 24 or 36 exposures on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't just a matter of just rapid firing and hoping you get something. And I really liked that. And I like the whole idea of the saying now, when you hear someone say, oh, as photographers, we don't take pictures, we make pictures. Hmm. And it goes back to that film days when we shot film, we went in the dark room, and we really did make pictures.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So next, tell us, how do you get yourself inspired for a photo shoot?
I do a few different things. You know, I find that I run it through my mind. You know, like I've kind of visualized what I'm going to do
okay. When
I'm there. Probably one of the first steps I take is I talk to whoever my subject is. And so now that I'm shooting for myself, so most of my subjects are, you know, everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to find out in their mind, what are they looking for? What do they visualize? Sometimes they don't know, but sometimes they do have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find myself running the whole process through my mind, like the whole from start to finish, what we're going to start doing, what it's going to lead to. And then I may go to online, look up various photographers that I admire. And just to get some ideas, I use Pinterest a lot, where I collect poses, because you can never have too many posing ideas, especially for large groups.
That's for sure.
Like a wedding party, you know, a wedding party of four or five people. And even for couples, I don't always want to do the same exact thing time after time. You know, you do a few weddings and you find out that they almost always run through the same script.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to try and incorporate some of that person's personality.
Excellent. And do you find that when you come with your ideas, are your clients normally open to the ideas that you bring to the table?
Yes. Most of them, they want something different, creative and fun, and they may be shy people. And so I tell them what I plan to do ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
and to make them feel comfortable about it. And usually they agree. And if they don't feel, they'll go, I don't know. And so they'll go, okay. So I'll go through doing something that they want to do. And then when we do that, then I'll slip in an idea that I have. Let's try this. Let's try that. You know, and then sometimes they're really surprised. Mm-hmm. They're shocked and surprised.
Very good. Next, let's talk about your tools of the trade. What's your go-to gear for your typical photo shoot?
Well, I'm a Canon shooter,
mm-hmm.
and I really don't get into that debate of versus Nikon. I always steer away from it, because really it's whatever camera you feel comfortable shooting, you know? And so I started out with Canon. So I have Canon, and I'm shooting a 5D Mark II right now. And I really, really enjoy using a 50 millimeter prime lens whenever I can. It's just beautiful.
It's one of my favorite too.
Yeah, that's one of those cameras where you really have to move your feet to get in close when you need to.
Yes.
And I really love using 70 to 200, especially when I'm shooting weddings and events. Mm-hmm. This way I can get close without getting in people's faces. I get more natural candids when I'm further away. And it really softens the background a little more. So, you know, when I do have to do something indoors, like a portrait session, one of my favorite lighting modifiers is the big Octobank. Mm. I really love that thing. It's a beast to put together, but I really, really love the lighting results that I mm-hmm. get with it.
Very good. And what you were saying about the 70 to 200 millimeter lens, as far as the depth of field, that's something that really sets apart professional photographers from everybody else taking photos at the weddings. So,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the 50 millimeter lens, that was actually recommended to me. It was maybe a couple weeks before I was going to shoot my first wedding ever. Mm-hmm. And I bought a used one, and that thing is a gem. It's an absolute gem. I love it. Love it.
Yes. And they come in, you know, various ranges. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're someone starting out, you can get one for like $100,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, and then move up to the finer quality lenses. There's a 50 millimeter that's probably a 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Now that costs a little more, but you start out with the $100 lens. It's lightweight, but it'll help you get started with using it and get used to using it. And then you upgrade a little later.
Definitely. Next, we're going to talk about your post-production workflow. Can you describe to us what your workflow is like after you've shot after you've had a photo shoot, as far as the software that you use and your process for that?
Well, I think my post-production process is pretty simple and easy. And I started using Lightroom maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm so glad, oh my gosh, it makes life so easy. Once I come home from a shoot, one of the first things I do, of course, is I upload all my cards to an external hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And because I want to make sure that they get backed up. And on that computer system, I have a backup system that backs up my work like every hour. And then I go in and I start, I import everything into Lightroom. I start culling through the images. I pick out the ones that really resonate with me right off the bat. And then I do all my processing in Lightroom. I set up my own presets that I use. Especially like when I shoot weddings and events, I have a certain preset that I use. This way I don't have to go through step by step with each photo. But I have looked at every photo individually, so I know the ones that I like and I know what needs to be done with them. So I'll do a batch processing. And from there, if anything needs any detail work, then I'll go into Photoshop and do it.
Mm, by and far, Lightroom is so popular among photographers that I've interviewed. You know, and I really see why. Once upon a time, I would take all of my photos into Photoshop and do it there. And it took forever.
Yes. I could spend days.
Oh, easily. Yes.
Going through photos from an event, you know. So now I can go through them really quickly and do that batch processing and let it put in watermarks if I need, put in all my metadata all at once, and save everything and upload it if I needed to do that also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that I initially did not know until I started talking to other photographers, mm-hmm. which is actually one reason why I love creating this interview series, putting out every episode, because these tips that you all are offering are going to be helping so many other photographers. And even people that I've interviewed, you know, photographers that are already professional, they say, oh, I was listening to the other episodes and it's so good to know what other photographers are doing. And it's good to know I'm doing things the right way. So I love it when I get feedback like that.
Yes, it's very encouraging associating and building a network with other photographers that you can be friends with. I don't necessarily look at other photographers as my competition, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of photographer friends, and most of them I met online through social media, particularly through Flickr. using Flickr from years and years ago. You just became followers of each other's work, and eventually it led to meeting in person and exchanging ideas and finding out, oh, how did you do that? And it's really good to find someone who's willing to share.
Right.
What they do, their process and stuff.
You know, I always say it's about collaboration, not competition, for sure. Next, I have a question for you that might be a bit tough. Getting into the nitty-gritty of photography, what would you say is the most challenging aspect of running your photography business?
Oh, my. You know, the most challenging aspect would be staying relevant. Especially when photography is your livelihood. There's so much chatter about, oh, everybody's a photographer. I went to a wedding and all these people were shooting and all that. So the challenge is really staying relevant and not being fazed and bothered by what other people are doing. Right now, like, anybody can buy a camera, a good quality, consumer quality digital camera, and shoot very nicely. It does nice pictures. But as professionals, we have to remember that we have to continue to hone our skill, continue to master whatever style it is that we have, and develop our own look. So that, because I think you mentioned, one of the things that would set my pictures apart from everybody else at the wedding who's taking pictures is the quality of the images.
That's right.
The style of the processing that I use. So I try and stay away from very faddish post-processing things, and which is one of the reasons why I don't buy any prepackaged presets. I create my own, because then I find everybody's work starts to look the same. So I think it's very important that we just stay relevant to what our own clients are looking for and want. Stay in tune with what the market is doing, what's acceptable, and just making sure that we keep mastering our skills and not getting too sidetracked and nervous about, you know, what's going on everywhere else.
Very good answer. Very good answer. Yeah, you know, I've had people come to me and tell me that they hired their, you know, cousin Pookie to shoot their photo or to shoot their wedding for, you know, a few hundred dollars. And, you know, cousin Pookie may have a decent camera, but you definitely get what you pay for when you try to hire a cheap photographer.
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. Now tell us next, what is the most common mistake that you see professional photographers make? Or yourself. It can be technical, it can be business, whatever you'd like it to be.
Well, I think, again, it goes back to one of the things I see people do is, maybe they're not necessarily professionals yet. Maybe they're just moving into that professional field. And that's kind of being all over the place. Oh, they see this photographer do such and such, so they try and do it, thinking they're going to hit the jackpot and become super popular or big and whatever. Everybody's going to hire them. Or they try and do what this person is doing and making that same mistake and not really concentrating on who they want to be as photographers. You know, what style do I want to do? What is going to set me apart from all the thousands of photographers in the New York, New Jersey area? You know, there are a lot of photographers that people can choose from. What will make them choose me, you know? So some of the mistakes would be that I see is that just being all over the place and not concentrating on what it is that they really want to do, trying to follow everybody else. When this person does something, then they do it. When, you know, the next group of people do something, then they do it. Instead of really staying the course. And the other mistake is, I think, overbuying gear. And I think it's really a bit, when you're really starting out, you know, you make some money, you want to put the money back into the business. A little known secret might be that when I first started out professionally, I used a Canon Rebel. So a lot of my photographs, the older ones particularly that are still on my website, I used a Canon Rebel. And people would kind of talk down what kind of camera you use, like, oh, you just have a Rebel. And I didn't let it bother me.
Good
because
for you.
Those people weren't paying my bills. They weren't putting the money in my pocket. So, advice always is learn the camera and the equipment that you have first. When it gets to the point where that camera no longer can do what you want it to do, then it's time to upgrade. And not to go out and buy because new cameras come out every 6 months.
Yes.
There's always something new, always something new. So wear out what you have or grow past what you have and then move on to the next level. And it was then when I finally started shooting more and more events and I realized, okay, this camera is holding me back. Then I jumped and bought the 5D Mark II. So I'll hold on to it as long as it lasts, probably maybe another year or so, and then I'll move up to the next level instead of just running out and buying more and more gear, Just buy the essentials that you really need first.
Mary, I've made both of those mistakes that you've mentioned. Oh, it is so easy to get caught up in the gear trap. I mean, there's everything everywhere. And, you know, I used to work at a magazine and it was a motorcycle magazine and we did our own photo shoots in-house. And, you know, my bosses had these awesome lenses and just, you know, mm-hmm. their cameras were so much nicer than mine. And seeing that every day, it made me naturally want to have nicer gear as well. Mm-hmm. And I went through a period where I spent more money than I should have mm-hmm. on gear. And then, you know, when you're broke, you correct that problem very quickly.
Yes. The key is to, you know, use what you have, use it till it can't go any further. Because I think in the beginning, you know, you buy something new before you even learn that, you move on to something else. So mm-hmm. then you have this collection of stuff that you really never really got to use. Mm-hmm. And maybe you buy something, you say, you know, I really don't have a use for this lens.
Right.
And so I would say just slow down on that stuff. Borrow a lens, rent a lens, you know, that kind of thing first beforehand.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. Now, in your opinion, Mary, what makes a good photo stand out from just an average photo?
I think good photos stand out not only on the technical quality, but I think a really good photo would stand out when it captures emotion. Mm. When I look at that, I like to feel that I was there. I was feeling what the person was feeling, or there was some type of emotion conveyed. And also, it just doesn't look like everything else. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to that thing of just trying to shoot what it is that you shoot. And I've learned this over the last, I think, 5 or 6 years that I've been doing this and starting to develop my own style, and getting to the point, because even as a designer, I have people say to me, I knew you did that because it has that signature Mary Brown style. And so I was like, yes, I want, and even in school when I put up my work, my classmates would say that. Yep. We knew that was yours because of the style. So I always want my photography work to also show that. So it sets it apart and it doesn't look like everything else.
Very good. And what is one thing you wish you knew before you became a professional photographer on your own?
Oh boy. strategic pricing. Definitely. Mm. Because, you know, you start out and you start doing it on the side and, you know, that's one thing, but strategic pricing is very important. And I think a lot of creatives, not just photographers, struggle with that, knowing how to charge what the market value is, the fair market value, without underselling or undercutting the industry or overpricing yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a comfortable level, and that a lot of that has to deal with knowing what market and who your client is and what client you're going after.
That's a huge topic of debate and a huge mm-hmm. pain point among professional photographers. Mm-hmm. Even just chatting with them online and offline, so mm-hmm. many professionals struggle with the money conversation, is what I call mm-hmm. it, with their clients.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, and I've been through this even as a designer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for years and years and years, it's been the same thing. for the older professional designers would always complain, you know, about what to charge, or the younger people weren't charging enough or whatever. And it's the same thing that I hear in the photography business. And I know that in schools where I teach the arts, such as photography and design, it would be great if there were courses on.
Oh my goodness.
Business courses, you know, that really yes. taught how to set up your business if you want to be in the photography business or the graphic design business and you want to set up a design studio. How do you price your work? What things do you need to keep in mind? That would be so great, because they train us to be, you know, with the skill and the crafts, but otherwise we're kind of like left out there.
Yes.
And they're like, oh no, okay, now what do I do? Oh my gosh, somebody wants to hire me. What do I charge them?
Oh, you said it, Mary. Oh, do not get me started on that. Yes, it's, you know, I went to art school as well, and mm-hmm. I studied illustration, graphic design, photography, and they have all kinds of classes out there teaching you the craft. But at least the school I went to, which, don't get me wrong, I loved my school, you know, mm-hmm. but they, at the time, I don't know if they changed now, but at the time they were not offering any business courses at all for us
right,
to take
right.
within the art school. And so, you know, me and my peers, we graduate and it's kind of just a free for all. And
yet, if you don't land a job, then you're on your own, you know, trying to figure out how to earn back, how to make a living.
Exactly.
It.
Pricing, writing contracts,
right,
all of that
right.
stuff. It's, you know, it's a lot of times you end up making so many mistakes trying to figure it out. And I'm pretty sure I've made just about every single one of them.
Yes,
so.
I have to. and I always chalk it up as a lesson learned.
That's right.
Okay. I've learned this lesson now. Okay.
That's right. And if, you know, a tough lesson costs you $500, well, you know, just kind of think of it as a college course. You pay more for that for a course in college. So,
oh my, yes.
Excellent. Now, next, Mary, tell us, is there a particular photography resource, tool, a book, or even we talked a bit earlier about software that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, I think one of the really great free services, you know, that I use myself to stay inspired and to just stay motivated, Creative Live is an excellent tool for mm. creatives, photographers. They have a lot of information that they've started giving out. But I have a couple of books that I've used that mm-hmm. really have been very helpful lately. Sal Cincotta has a book, The Photographer's MBA. And there's a book entitled Light, Science, and Magic. I use that book when I'm to learn lighting, especially objects and the science of lighting. It's really a great resource for that. If you find yourself needing to shoot something, reflective surfaces, how does the light affect those items? Great resource for that.
Very good. And I will definitely include those in the show notes for our listeners as well. Our final question, but certainly one of the most important questions. Tell us, Mary, where we can find you, your website, any other products you have?
Well, I'm all over the internet.
Good.
First and foremost, my website is marybphoto.com. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram as marybphoto.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also have a Facebook page. Facebook.com/MaryBphotography and Google Plus, for those who use Google Plus, I think is an excellent resource. Great quality of photos reproduction. So there I'm plus Mary Brown. The direct URL would be plus.google.com/plusMaryBrown. And of course, Pinterest. I don't use it as often or as frequently as I should, but it is my definite go-to place when I want to collect ideas. I have my own little collection, like I said, of poses and photographic ideas and tutorials, things like that. So that's pinterest.com/MaryBphoto.
Very good. Very good. And just thank you again, Mary. We so appreciate you taking time to chat with us and share your experience with us. Thank you.
Oh, Shamira, thanks for having me.